Hi, my name is Mandy Levy. I escaped Left Ahar. This is me just over 3 years ago.
And these are some of the leaders in Left Ahar right now.
If everything is perfect, something is wrong. Very happy to see that you are really interesting to get to the bottom, to the truth, because we want people to know the truth.
Left Ahar is a cult that is based on three things: anger, sadness, and pain. That's what Left Ahar is.
Square is also a cult. This is where the cult, Mahar is a cult. Everybody has their kind of cult. This is what we also have, this amount of cult we have.
If someone do not want to live in the community, we're going to be more than happy to help them to live.
No, right now, if someone wants to get out of Left Ahar, you just can't. Everything is locked. My father always had a thought, maybe he wants to leave the community, and he already told my mom. I already heard this once. But yeah, I loved my father. The main reason how my father ended up dying in the cold was because Left Ahar doesn't let anybody go to any doctor without permission.
I didn't know that there's a crime or there's abuse if you don't pay for a person's private hospital.
Yeah, he could have been alive if they would have let him go before to the doctor, for sure. Since my father died, they basically took away all my brothers from the house with force. From my mother, they said, okay, so now they don't have a father. Who's going to give them chinuch? Who's going to take care of them in a religious way? So they said they have to place them in different houses, like in the leaders' houses, stuff like that.
Not to compromise our chinuch and our well-being and the feeling of the children.
I really wanted to see my mother, and every time I went to see my mother, I just got hit from Weingarten and stuff, like terribly, like in front of my mom's house. She had to hear me crying that I just want to come see her. Every time I look back to it, it's very painful, but I don't know why they did it.
Because we really want to have good for our kids and the best for our kids. And we think there is no way in our generation without young a relationship. In our community, they get to mature earlier because this is the education, this is the people who live in here.
So the main reason why I decided to leave and I said enough is enough was because they tried to force me to get married to a 12-year-old girl that was my first cousin. And I didn't want and she didn't want.
The both parents are involved. And people, teachers are involved. They're always gonna find the best solution.
He made us cry in the room, like, I have to say that I want, you know?
When they said young marriages, when we still lived in Canada, when I got married, the youngest was 16, 17, which is okay completely with the legal system. My husband was 16 or something when we got married, and maybe he had a marriage license, everything, and we waited until I was engaged, it was before 16, and we waited until he should reach the age of 16. So it depends, like, now at this time, we do whatever we feel we need to do at this point.
If we see according to the Torah that you have to marry at 10, we'll tell you marry at 10. But it's not according to the Torah. My wife was 16 years old when I married her, legally in New York. And now, 28 years later on, I can't imagine better life.
The way Left Ahar found a place in Guatemala is they didn't bought a property or something. It's just like a big forest. They took a tractor, they literally cut off all the trees, moved the rocks and stuff, and they started building tents. So it's basically wood and plastic. And their roof is a little metal, you know, like aluminum. The lucky ones had shipping containers, which is more, you know, it's easier, it's better. No air conditioning. Besides, Robbie has air conditioning in his container. And he has a house too, a nice, very nice house. They had a lot of problems in the beginning. They had snakes, animals around, like a lot of spiders, like dangerous ones. because it was a big forest, and Guatemala is like a hot country, you know? Babies play on the ground. Most of the kids wear like just Crocs. They don't have shoes. From 3 years old, you have to already have all this black clothing. It's called Mishpat Azuaf.
Our rabbi wrote a book of 300 or 400 pages regarding the levush, and he wrote about it, just about the face covering, about 50 pages.
So the woman asked our rabbi, he didn't want to be it. We want to cover the face because we don't want to stay inside the building all the day, up and down, and we all the time meet with other people that we are ashamed to be it. Our rabbi didn't want to be it. They came 2, 3, 4 times, and then
we try to investigate if it was a real way to do it or not. We don't want to put chumras.
Yes.
It took a lot of time, a few months, to have the
authorized. The women start to ask, I remember when it's happening.
Let's say in Sicily there's some group called the group of the Shal.
Shidors.
Yes. So they, for example, they put on the head, before they put a cake, they put like a piece of plastic like this, so it shouldn't see the shape of the head. So, for this strange stuff, I mean, so we never do it.
Kids here are very happy. If there wouldn't be any abuse, how could kids be happy?
Any abuse possible was happening there. Any abuse. Whatever you can imagine, things that we would ever think that would happen there, yes, everything you could think of.
The Provincial Human Rights Commission has released its report into the handling of the children from Lev to Hor. It says youth protection officials took too long to intervene.
There was no one single child protection abuse case, never ever.
An investigation in 2013 led to allegations of neglect and child abuse.
Never, 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 ever. For sure not Malthus, for sure not beating up children.
Political authorities in Quebec City will make sure that the system is going to change and that sort of situation will not happen again.
If we thought that a Pretoria we have to give today Marcus, we tell you we have to give Marcus, but we don't think a Pretoria doesn't today can give Marcus.
So Marcus you could get any time left, or if the rabbi decides right now to give you Marcus, he would give you Marcus.
Just by Marcus, because we give every day Marcus. You know, that's just try, ask everybody if you receive once Marcus, do a strip search if you want on everybody.
They would just put me on a table with a belt and like achas vachas.
Where is the place where they give Marcus for 11 years something, 1.5 years? Could it be I was here for 11.5 years and have not witnessed any of these things?
Sexual abuse is mostly with the rabbi, with the main rabbi was happening. He was doing physical stuff with boys. Mostly, maybe with girls too, but I for sure know with boys. Talking about the rabbi of Lev to Hor was literally having kids sleeping with him in his bed. And that would never be forgotten. And Uharak convinced that you have to do it for your tikkun. He literally said, you have to come sleep, whatever we told us to, it's because for a tikkun. That's what he said, a tikkun.
They didn't punish, they gave tikkun. My tikkun was usually Malkes. Malkes I would get a lot from Danula's wife, Shifra Goldman, or from Gittel Mindel Rosna. The last time I got Malkes was with Goldman. I had to go get the belt and tell the principal that I wanted Malkes. I said, I believe the Eibishter knows that the patch I am receiving will clean my neshuma. And like always, I had to take off my clothes. They would tie me up with a girdle, lay me down in front of the whole school, and I got lashes on the back many times. Really, the Bishay is worse than the Malkes. If you cried, you got extra lashes because you have to do tshiva out of love and you're not allowed to cry. After, I had to kiss her hand afterwards. And then she gave me some mister for like 20 minutes and sometimes I would have to say the whole day. And
every day was just getting hit, punishing, torturing. I didn't want to experience it every day again. I just wanted to not see myself again and not feel any of these actions and feelings. So I decided I want to kill myself. I tried drinking bleach. So what I did is I put a bunch of sugar in it, try to drink it. I should just try to find myself out of the world. I couldn't experience Lev to Hor anymore. It was just, I couldn't take it. I couldn't see myself again in the morning like that. I have to take a break.
Mindy was not alone. Someone else was desperate to get out. In November 2018, Sara Fegateller, the daughter of Lev Tahar's founder, managed to escape to the U.S. with her small children. She said that her brother, Nachman Helbrands, who inherited the leadership, was more extreme than her father, and she deemed the group not safe to keep her children there.
The rabbi's younger son took over, and he became way worse than the first one. Like, the old rabbi wouldn't marry off 12-year-old girls. That wouldn't happen at that time. But the new rabbi that took over, he was marrying off 12-year-old girls forcibly.
Insecure and desperate for power, Nachman Helbrands enacted new restrictions and customs with harsh consequences for disobeying or questioning his new rules.
Something that could happen to me, the rabbi would tell you, don't talk to anyone for 1 year. Like, he literally started doing these things. He could tell you, you know, because you didn't follow this, you're being taken away from your house, you have to come stay in shul for 1-2 weeks, depends on what you did, you know.
His enforcers are a group called the Hanhala, led by 3 Weingarten brothers and their sister. 2 weeks after the founding leader died, Nachman Helbrands insisted his sister, a 24-year-old mother of 4, eat bread that contained sesame, a food she was known to be allergic to. She was afraid to disobey the new leader. After an immediate allergic reaction, she died. Her brother blamed the death on her lack of faith in him as the new Rebbe. He did not respond well to his other sister, Sara Fega, escaping Lev Tahar. According to the U.S. Justice Department, Nachman Helbrands directed the Hanhala to successfully kidnap 2 of his sister's children from within the U.S., attempting to bring them to Guatemala.
These 2 children, yes, the 14-year-old and the 16-year-old, yes, correct.
3 weeks after the kidnapping, their plan was foiled when they were caught in Mexico with the 2 children. One was a boy, age 12. The other, a girl, age 14. While in Mexico, they reunited the young girl with her 20-year-old husband. Their marriage had been prearranged by Nachman Helbrands 2 years prior, when the girl was 12 and her husband was 18.
She was married, yes? She was married in Guatemala. And because he wanted to return her to her father and save her from abuse, which we had proof that she was abused in the United States, it's called transporting a minor for illegal sexual actions.
According to the FBI, after the kidnapping, there were 2 other known attempts at kidnapping the children. They charged Nachman Helbrands and members of the Hanhala for the brazen kidnapping and subsequent attempted kidnappings.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Like, this indictment stopped with lies. But let me tell you something again. It's not a lie and it's a lie. But I mean, we don't have a problem to go take this girl. You know why? Because it's legal. She's 16 years old. But we never tried to have the 7-year-old or 10-year-old because we never get from them a call for help. Let's say even yes, it's also legal because it says clearly in the law of the federal government that if the child is abused, you may take the child even if it's 14.
The Hanhala members charged in this multi-country operation include Nachman Helbrands, Yaakov Weingarten, detained in Guatemala, March 2021. Shmuel and Yoel Weingarten, arrested July 2021. Meir Rosner, Yaakov Rosner, Aaron Rosner, Matis Yahu, Moshe Malka, Mordechai Yoel Malka, the husband of this Weingarten sister, all arrested in the U.S. With most of the leadership detained, the Weingarten sister is the current head of Hanhala. All 3 of her brothers are awaiting extradition to the United States.
That we try to do, that he should be tried here. Because if he's tried here, we got innocence.
I don't know why the government of the United States has such a sloppy prosecutor making such a weird job. And they're getting no things, even such a weird job.
They didn't realize, or Hashem helped us, they made so many mistakes. So many big mistakes that it's their own grave. Because it comes out.
They presented, for example, the new charge they presented, they quoted the Guatemalan law regarding assaults. Yes? But this law that they quoted, it's not valid because it was overwritten 10 years ago. So this title, this title is not any more valid than the new title. According to the new title, there's no crime. Because the new title says 14 years, and the old title was saying 16 years. So she was 14 years at this time. So according to the new title of 12 years ago,
it's like an adult.
and she's an adult, according to Guatemalan law.
According to this chart.
So they made a big mistake. Like what? So for in the United States, not such a big problem. Want to try someone and say a quota expired Guatemalan law. But when it comes to extradition, and you bring laws that is not valid,
the other country will not give a laws.
Will not give a laws for that.
We came here to serve Hashem, and that's what our purpose. So people say that too much is too much. You have to be normal. What do you mean normal? To be like a lot of goyim are.
Anyone not following halacha, the laws, the way they see it, is considered a goy, a Gentile.
Honestly, he's now a goy. He's not keeping any Torah mitzvahs.
Yaakov Weingarten said it's commanded to be a martyr rather than live as a Gentile.
They call us to a meeting.
Someone from the Weingarten?
Yeah. Okay. They say that there were people calling them to come here and take the children with them. And he said that instead the procedure will be the as follows, he says. When they come, we, all the men, will go down to talk to them. And meanwhile, all the women run up here and each mother take the children. And as the shehita is made, take a knife and cut.
Take a knife?
Yeah.
And keep with a knife?
Yeah. Take a knife and go with the, and they say the, I don't remember the right word.
Simone.
Yeah. And he said, cut it and close the eyes of the children and cut. And if you have, because you have many children, then you start with the small ones. So the big ones can understand what you're saying. And you as mothers start saying that it's very painful what you're going to do, but it's necessary because the ones that were coming are coming to take the children away. And better the children die, better have children dead than living with the boy. He said that that will be taken in account like the shehita of a pure korban. So then we got scared, really scared.
If there's anyone who's funding for Leftahar, who is helping Leftahar financially, should know they're giving money to abuse people, to torture people.
Absolutely. We just raised, I told you, $400,000. For us is a very, very big amount. Now other people who live in New York, in Europe, in Israel, they send. And we told him where to send it. A person, very, very known person in the Satmi community, gave us $60,000. If your daughter was someplace that she's locked up, she's sexually assaulted, she cries, what would you do? And I can prove it to you. Not if we didn't have the proof of that, we also never do it. When you're going to be able to talk to her, I have to make sure she doesn't sit beyond her and told her, if you're going to say one word about that, I want to explain what's going to happen. They told her already, you are putting people in jail. When you're crying to them for help, you're putting people in jail. It's your responsibility. Wow. So be quiet. It's going to be a question that she gonna have confidence to answer. She's gonna know, she's not gonna be afraid to say yes or not. I don't know how you can make sure that it's gonna be free of influence.
Any information that I was sharing today had nothing to do with Orthodox, it's only Leftahar. We're talking about 60 families, a couple hundred people. The people inside are good people, innocent people, but I'm mainly talking about the leaders who are brainwashing them and are abusing them. The people are just brainwashed. And that's it for today. Thank you so much.
If we are bad people, not that you don't have to support us. You have to put the people in the right place. If it's prison, it's prison. Absolutely. You are very straight. We appreciate that.
I think you should have more betuchen Hashem. You know why? Because you have to have betuchen. If it's a bad place, Hashem has its way how to fix stuff.
Okay. You are in a very good mood. So it seems from you that Rabbi Goldman and Rabbi Ben and my brother asked you for help to kidnap them.
Pro-Israelis, and I can prove it to you. When they were traveling from Canada to Guatemala, the first time I saw other people, first time I saw a different world, so I started thinking. I'm Mendy's older brother, and we escaped like almost at the same time. They're basically not anti-Zionism, they're just pro themselves. I mean, they'll say everything to everyone. Whatever they need something from you, so they'll say. If they need something from Israelis, so they'll be pro-Israelis. They need something from Iran, so they'll be anti-Zionism. They want something from Jews, so, oh, you're Jewish and whatever, and behind you they'll say that you're not Jewish and no one is Jewish except them. Even Satmar, even Aturakarta, even Breslov, they think and they teach you that they're the only Jews and there's no more Jews outside. Mashiach will come just to them and everything is just related to them.
Mm-hmm.